Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. Last time, you know, Jesus reminded us, you know, of three times about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that he was going to suffer. And that brings us to Mark 10, 35 through 45, and James and John's question to Jesus.
Yeah, it's a great passage, and excited to be here with Sandy and Janelle.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thankful that we just get to be on the radio sharing God's word.
Amen.
This passage is fun because it reveals the heart of what's going on inside the disciples and how we can just be walking alongside Jesus and still not quite gather what he's trying to communicate to us. Kind of gives me hope for myself.
Me
Does that
too.
Make sense? So in this passage, this is what the Bible tells us in Mark 10, 35 through 45. So James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee, approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want something we'd like to ask you." And Jesus says, "Well, what do you want from me?" They answered, "Oh, we'd like to sit on your right or your left in your glory." "Ah," Jesus said, "you don't know what you're asking. Do you think that you could drink of my cup or partake in my baptism?" And they looked at him and said, "We're able." And Jesus acknowledged, "Yes, you will drink of the cup and you will take of the baptism, but it's not for me to say who's going to be on the right or the left. That's not for me to say." And the other disciples, as they heard as this was going on, it just made them indignant. They're like, "What is up with James and John?" So Jesus called them all together, and he used this as an opportunity to teach them. And he said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they dominate them, and these are men that exercise their power in their high positions. But it must not be like this with you. It should not be this way. What I want from you is that those that want to be great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God honor the telling of his word. So, all right, here we have, we got to keep in our minds that Jesus and the disciples, they've just had this conversation. For the third time, he has announced to them that he is going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, that he would die and rise. And James and John, two of what you would call the core three, Peter being the other one, have this question. Now, if you look in Matthew, the Matthew text makes it appear as if the mother is the one that asked the question. The commentators say it doesn't matter who the question orchestrated from, whether James and John were the ones that asked it because the mom wanted them to ask, or if the mom asked it because James and John were pondering it. The fact of the matter is they didn't understand what Jesus is trying to communicate to them. We all just have those moments where we can be caught, where we can be in the presence of Jesus and yet not be present with him. Uh-huh. And I've been really pondering this thought, being in his presence and not being present. I mean, we have the promise that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That's a promise we have now because of what Christ did on the cross. They were physically with his presence and still didn't understand some of the things that he's trying to communicate. And so today I'd like for us to talk through, what do you think Jesus is really wanting them to grasp at this point? And the way that this conversation held out, what are y'all's thoughts on this?
I think he wants them to open their eyes and see that they are going to suffer like he did if they're going to be his true followers.
Okay, that's good. How about you, Janelle?
Maybe the ability to lead by being able to be the least. And I mean, we talk about that all the time at Grace with servant leadership, but even with the suffering, that the greatest of them will be the ones that are willing to lay down their lives for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good. I keep thinking, you know, their question was, can we sit on the right and can we sit on the left? And so they're asking for that place of honor, that place of glory, the place of prominence. And so they're thinking of a high end of what it would be And yet the answer that comes back is, oh yeah, you're going to take in my cup and my baptism. But what they're not getting, that it's not the high end of what they're thinking. It's actually going to be a really difficult thing that they will be allowed to partake in. And so there's a test in that for us, you know, that we may think that, oh, I'm in pursuit of serving in this capacity, and we're not realizing that we're actually in pursuit of something that would be harder than what we actually thought. We're looking at it as the position and not thinking through the outcomes of what we will go through in that position. And Sandy and I were having a conversation earlier. We were discussing the fact that, you know, all three of us said before the show ever started, we're all tired. And I had shared with Sandy, it's like, yes, I'm tired, but I'm not tired because I'm tired of what's happening around me or doing God's will. I'm tired because I am pouring out. And there's a difference between being tired as you're serving because you are giving everything versus the tired of I'm not being poured in, which is being weary. And so having to take the time to recognize that. I think part of that is the preparation of what he's trying to get them to understand, you know, that they need to get their focus in the right place.
Yeah, their humanness showed up. Right. That's what happened. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I always love to do this. This is one of my favorite things to do. You guys know how I love this. I always make
a list going here.
I do. I have a lot of lists.
I know. I love
Janelle
your list.
Janelle loves lists.
I do too.
I like to take when I look at a passage of scripture because it helps me to better understand it. What do I learn about Jesus? What do I learn about James and John? What do I learn about the disciples? What about the men or the leaders of the nations? I put them in one group. And then I made a list of what must be. And I'd like for us just to take our time and let's look at what do we learn about each of them. So I want to start first with James and John. Let's talk about these two guys. What do we learn about them from this passage?
They're not shy.
No, they're not shy.
Not shy at all.
Not shy at all.
You know, and they asked Jesus, this is what we want you to do for me. You know, instead of, I don't know, they didn't realize that. I don't think they fully understand Jesus yet.
Right.
And I think that's why they asked that question. If they fully understood Jesus, they wouldn't ask, what can you do for me? Instead, it should be, what can I do for you?
Yeah, they're presumptuous.
Yes, they're very, very presumptuous. That's a good word.
Yeah. I think, Sandy, that in general, when I examine my prayers, I think my prayers are long lists of what I want Jesus to do.
Oh, always, yeah.
You know?
I remember that one time you had that one, I can't remember which Bible study, but Evelyn and I have talked about this a lot, where you said, come to the Lord and just praise him. Don't ask for it. You know, and that sounds so easy, and it's not.
It is very hard.
But it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's very transforming.
Yes.
We I think we all can be very presumptuous upon Jesus with our requests. Okay, what else about James and John? I think they're bold.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they're bold. And one commentator I wanted to share with you that I thought was funny because it's in an earlier passage in Mark 3:17. So just, you know, seven chapters earlier. I don't know time frame wise from the time that Jesus gives this title to James and John, but he calls them the sons of thunder. And one translation, I think, calls them thunderbolts and sons of lightning or something like that, depending on how you look at the translation. And he understood their character, who they are on the inside. And here we see this manifestation of the sons of thunder, you know, just that striking quick, like lightning without thinking kind of.
Kind of like Peter with his impulsiveness.
Sure. And so they were saying, you know, this is a definite example of that title that Jesus had given to them. I also thought about the fact that they wanted a high position, the right or the left. Well, what do we know about the right and the left in the kingdom or in the tradition? Let's go to Hebrew tradition at that time, Jewish tradition during the day of Jesus. What do we know about right and left of sitting beside somebody?
the right is the most honor, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the second one, the left would be the second.
Correct.
Honor, I guess.
Yep. And so if you are the person sitting at the table on the right, you have the highest position of honor to the person who is the greatest right. in the room. And they're requesting these two positions. All right. So they wanted high positions. Would you say that when you want high position, you want recognition?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so definitely some sort of recognition. But as I was looking and studying this, because their mindset is in the wrong place, they are thinking, instead of kingdom as in the future, they are thinking kingdom as in right now.
Right. Mm.
They're thinking Jesus is bringing in a military campaign at right. this moment. That tells me they're willing to fight for Jesus. Mm. Like, we could actually beat James and John up for this. But in a way, they're saying, okay, you got your battle plan. I'm ready to go to fight with you. So I am ready and willing to be on your right and your left to face the battle that you are going into. Because their mind is thinking a current military yeah. campaign of what is happening. And if they're requesting the right and the left, they're saying, we're willing to be your point men in battle. And that had never occurred to me until I studied it this time, that, you know, misled, misunderstood, not understanding what Jesus is wanting in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to negate that. But they are revealing that their hearts are saying, we'll fight for you.
I never thought that way, no.
I haven't either until I started pondering about the fact that they are thinking it's a military campaign. I would definitely call them ignorant. They are just not thinking through what Jesus is wanting them to get. And when they say Jesus' glory, what do you think they're referring to?
I think they're still thinking it's going to be the kingdom now.
Yeah, the military, the king, aspect
right.
of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. expecting it in
the moment of glory.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's take time. Do you guys have anything you want to add to James and John that you think of that would
Well, I did until you brought that up about I was just thinking they're more self-serving is
they
what
are.
I was thinking.
Sure, they are.
You know, but
I can just
as we all are as humans, yeah. we want our needs met.
Right. Right.
Too many times.
I can just see Jesus looking at them and going, oh, you guys are so cute. You know, like they do things and Jesus is like, calm down. You think you know what you're doing, but you don't. Yeah. Let me explain to you.
Let me teach
he probably
you
does
some
that
more.
To us a ton. It's yeah. probably the same
it's
thing.
It's really...
They
mm-hmm.
have the passion, and I think yeah. he admires yeah. that, but
right.
keeps it in check.
I think that's the reason why Janelle, he doesn't, like, get mad at them.
Right.
You know, he doesn't come down on them. He agrees with them.
You know, a good teacher never thinks a question is dumb. Mm. You know, yeah. it's a question, and it
and
needs to be
it
answered.
For teaching.
Right.
And that's
he
the
does
reason
that
why
same thing.
He uses a mm-hmm. question back. All right. So what do we learn about Jesus? Let's think on him now after we've gone through and examined James and John. What do you learn about Jesus?
He's patient.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
That's good.
I need
patience
him.
Is good. Mm-hmm. What else? I'm thinking that he is willing to listen.
Yep.
I know sometimes when somebody's asking me a question, and every time I'm asked, Tara, let me ask you a question. I hear that a lot. Let me ask you a question. I immediately, if I hear that phrase, I pray, God, give
help.
Me wise counsel.
Help.
I need your wisdom. And but as they're asking the question, he is, one, willing to answer.
Mm-hmm.
But two, he can see into the heart of what's going on. And sometimes I have to remind myself, I have to trust the Holy Spirit to help me discern
answer.
The heart. You know, Jesus knows the heart. He knows the heart intent. He knows what's going on behind it. And we can trust that.
Mm-hmm.
We can rest in that. And I've been really pondering the whole idea of in the circumstances of, one, myself as a leader. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody say to me in the last 6 weeks, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had several circumstances, and I've had different individuals actually say, I trust you. And initially, it makes me want to panic. And it's like, am I acting trustworthy? Am I, like, the test of the heart, am I? And so as I'm looking and examining scripture, because that's on my heart, I'm asking, how can I see that trustworthiness that Jesus has? And he proves trustworthy in every single circumstance. And right here, this is another example of how trustworthy he is. He mm-hmm. could have just said, "You sons of thunder, shut up."
Yeah, but he doesn't.
He didn't.
Because he shows great love for him.
Great love. Good one, Sandy.
Yeah, I like that.
And graciousness. Mm-hmm. And I was having a conversation with Jessica, Janelle's older sister, mm-hmm. who's our resident director at Grace University. And she's, I think, the second person I've heard this, and it's been profound. Tanya is actually the other person. Tanya, it was probably like 8 years ago I heard Tanya use this phrase, and then Jessica did. And it's kind of crazy. God, like, made the two come together this week when the, you know, I love it when he, like, connects something over time. And it was, she was talking about, she just started a new members class because she's moved membership to a new church. And she said, "I was just so blessed because as I listen to the sermons, I am convicted, but I am not condemned."
Mm, that's so good.
And Tanya and I, when we taught together a long, long time ago, we were having this conversation and prayer. And it's crazy because both of them, neither one of them said this to me as in like this was a conversation. Both of them, it was in a prayer. It was Tanya was praying over the two of us as we were getting ready to teach, and it was Jessica praying over what God had done for her over her new membership class. And I thought, wow, in prayer, two people I love as we're serving alongside each other, and I'm like, God, there's something there that you would, one, make me have like a 10-year gap and remember the two conversations. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to do here. He is trying to allow conviction to happen without condemnation. Mm. He's going to walk them gently through what he's teaching them, but he's not going to be in their face about what they need to learn.
He's not going to beat them up.
And so as a leader, this is my question for myself, and this is going to be my question I want us to end with for this week. How can I serve? How can you serve? How can we give so that we're giving Jesus, we're giving the word, and we're allowing him to be the one that convicts? I was praying through this, and God revealed to me, if condemnation happens, it's coming out of me in a spirit of judgment. Mm-hmm. If conviction's coming, it's because it's the Holy Spirit doing a revelation.
That's good.
And so making sure that my heart's right, that I'm not acting like a son of thunder, so that it is a conviction from the Holy Spirit, not condemnation from Tara. God bless.